yeah, somebody in Newcastle today, like a copy of God's Word, part of the Bible, the New Testament, in its entirety offered to you, free of charge, no cost or obligation to you. It's yours, simply and only for the taking. It is, when all said and done, God's Word, the message of His salvation, the good news that sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, in order that that we might be reconciled to God and delivered from, well, the root cause of all our misery, our troubles, which, of course, continue on generation after generation. If it's not a pandemic, if it's not a virus, it'll be something else. The untold misery of humankind is, well, it will continue on to the end of the age. And of course, there's a way out, there's a way escape, we've escaped. There's a way back to God from that dark, dark path, and that way is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the sum and substance of God's Word, His book, the Bible. And this, the New Testament part of it, well, it's offered to you quite freely. As you would like one, do feel free to come and ask for one, gladly placed into your hand. The catechism class today is about to begin, and if you'd like to join, then do feel free to do so. Any questions, feeling lonely, depressed, troubled, anxious, I'd love to pray for you, if you will. If you've any questions, then I'd love to be able to at least try and answer them for you. Don't know everything, haven't got the answer to every question, but try at least to answer your question for you. That is, if you give me the chance to answer it. So our question today for our class is, why, it's a double-barreled question today, why did the requisite, needful that is, mediator have to be God? And then, of course, why did he have to be man? Why did he have to be both? Good questions, and of course, well, in the Bible, Romans chapter 1, verse 4, if you want to check it out, where it says, Jesus, that is, God's Son, was declared to be the Son of God, empowered according to the Spirit of holiness by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Son of God, Son of Man, God manifest in the flesh. God sent us, God appointed and sent us a mediator, one to bring us back to God. The Bible says also that there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Many people, of course, make other and false claims. Claims, that is, that are, well, extra Bible, outside of the Bible. They talk about the mother of Jesus, Mary, you know, the Pope and his dog and just about everybody else, you know, to be a mediator one, that is, mediator one, you know, who, reconciles two warring parties. And that's why we need a mediator, because there's a war, you see. I know you're not aware of it, not conscious of it, but it's there. Because the sinful mind, the Bible says, God says, is hostile to God, at war with God, not subject to His law, cannot be, not in the natural state in which we come into the world, you know, conceived in sin, born in sin, living in sin, and continually at war with God, at enmity against God, in our sinful mind. And because of that, you see, well, God's again you. That's why all your troubles, you know, you might, maybe beginning to notice them, I don't know, but many, many ways in which, because of your unbelief, because of your sinfulness, because of your, well, you walked in against God, because of these things, my friend. God, there are times when He even sets nature against us, you know, storms, winds, tempests, and then of course, well, we've got, did I mention it, we've got your present pandemic, your present virus. Not an accident, didn't just simply fall out the sky, didn't just happen, it was sent, my friends. It's judgment upon the human race's unbelief. It's God's judgment. God brought it, and God alone will take it away. Not your scientists, not your prime minister, and not your vaccine. God alone will take away what He's brought. But all these miseries, they come upon you because God is against you, and against you because of your being against Him, because of your warfare in your sinful mind, hostile to God. So you see, this warfare, in order for any war to come to an end, to come to a conclusion, well, we have to engage, we have to get somebody to mediate between the two factors. That's why we need a mediator. And God, He has appointed the mediator. He has appointed His Son, appointed Him, anointed Him, and sent Him into the world to reconcile men and women to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, through His person, and of course, through that which He has done. He sent us, He's both God and He is both man, you see. Two natures, if you like, in one person. You see, how can that possibly be? Well, it is. It is. Whether you and I can get our heads, our minds around that, that is the fact as God has revealed it, sending us a divine mediator into the world. Because you see, an ordinary, I suppose, Moses back in the Old Testament, he was a bit of a mediator too, on behalf of God's people back then. You know, and then of course, well, you can think of other characters, maybe, you know, the Bible, like King David and so on. But another, just an ordinary mediator, if you like, wouldn't be enough, you know, for the job. You know, it's, the Bible says also, you know, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. God Himself had to come, you see. Nobody else man enough, you might say. Nobody else fit enough. Nobody else powerful enough. Nobody else able enough to bring about this reconciliation necessary in order for, that is, for you to be brought out of your hostile condition, you know, and to be brought into a place of peace with God, and to know the peace of God, which the Bible says surpasses all understanding. So it had to be somebody better than, more powerful than, greater ability than just a Moses, you know, or a King David. No mere human being, you see, could endure the wrath of God when Jesus, you know, came. And of course, what He was appointed for, the very thing that He was appointed for, sent for, was to die on that cross. But my friends, not just simply to die, that He did do. He was dead and buried, and of course, after the third day, raised again from the dead, as I just read for you. But that wasn't just simply and only the issue at hand, that He died. All men die. But no, my friends, on that cross, you see, He bore the wrath of God. He bore the punishment, the penalty, the awesome penalty, I tell you, and not just the troubles of this world with all its misery, but, my friends, the eternal destruction, the eternal wrath of God was poured out upon him, upon that cross, so that the sinner, the person who believes, who trusts in Jesus Christ, in his mediatorship, in his reconciling work, in his dying and bearing that wrath upon himself on that cross, in the place of others, those that is, who will repent of their sin and believe on Jesus, that they might be freed from the wrath of God, which of course, well, God says, because of your hostile mind against God is already upon you. Wrath of God is revealed from heaven, the Bible says, against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in unrighteousness. It's not that you don't know that there's a God. Everybody knows that. That's not rocket science, you know what I mean? You just have to get rid of your Darwinian daftness, you know, and get a grip with reality. No, you know that God is. But what you do is, you don't want there to be a God because you're hostile in your mind to God. So you suppress the truth, you know? Like the stupid old ostrich, you know? Buries his head in the sand and thinks nobody can see him. Well, you see, my friends, you're without excuse. All the things that God has made, every time you look in the mirror, you see a man, a woman, made by God and made for the glory of God. Now the evidence is all before you. No excuse, none whatsoever. Now you suppress. You hold down the truth in unrighteousness because you just don't want there to be a God. Because you're again hostile in your mind against God. And so, you see, my friends, Jesus came as a mediator to make peace between us and God by dying on that cross and by taking upon himself the wrath, the eternal wrath, the hell that awaits you if you continue impenitent. He bore that in himself on that cross. But no mere human being could do that. If you were to bear, I tell you, you were to bear the wrath of God that's due for your sin, believe me, it would, and it will, if it's not repented of your sin, I mean, it would sink you down into the deepest pits of hell. That's just yours. But Jesus bore in himself the sins of the world, the wrath of God due to sinners the world over, so that those who put their trust in him might be relieved of such wrath, such fear, such dreadful consequences of their sin. Jesus bore that in himself on that cross. And so you see, my friends, no mere man, no ordinary man like you and I could possibly endure such. He had to be a divine mediator. He had to be God, the requisite mediator, the needful, the necessary mediator. He had to be God. One single human being, that in itself wouldn't be enough. Because all that one single ordinary human being could do is perhaps, if you know he were, had that ability, all he could do is maybe, you know, mediate on behalf of one other person, reconcile one other person. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ, he reconciled, he mediated on behalf of many. Not everybody, but many. Because you see, the Bible doesn't say that he died for everybody. He says, in fact, himself, that he gave his life for his sheep, not for the goats. He says in another place, he says the goats go to the left, to everlasting destruction. The sheep, they go to the right to everlasting life. So you see, my friends, not everybody, but many, many, many people, those whom his Father gave to him before the foundation of the world, those he died for, those he mediates on behalf for, those, my friends, he bore the wrath of God for, to reconcile them to God. But many, not just one, and not just everybody, but many, those whom God has chosen to salvation. That is, before the foundation of the world, the Bible tells us. But then, of course, Jesus, no, he was a divine mediator, God. God, as I say, or rather, the Bible says, manifest in the flesh. Oh, he was tempted in all points, the Bible says. Tempted in many ways, just the same as you and I. In fact, tempted in greater ways than you and I. But, you see, for Jesus, it was impossible that he could fail. The way that, well, the first man, Adam, who brought sin into the world, your father, my father, he brought sin into the world. He failed on behalf of himself, on behalf of the entire human race. But Jesus did not fail. He could not fail. Because he is divine. Because he is God. The necessary, the needful mediator. He had to be God, you see, in order to face and to bear those temptations and to overcome, not to fail. Why? He had to be. And of course, from a mere, just an ordinary human being, well, we just like Adam, we just fail again. The way that you and I do, many, many times, do we not? No, we don't even have, we choose to say, we don't even have the will to obey God. You know, when the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, not reached the target, that is. Not that they've just missed the target. Not just that they've missed the bullseye. They've not even reached the target. Not even tried to reach the target. Because you just don't have the will, you see, to obey God. Sinful minds, hostile to God, not subject to the law of God. Nor can you be until that is you're born again. Until that is God puts life into your soul and his love into your heart. Only then would you have the will, only then would you have the desire to even seek to obey God. But even then, times again, you would fail. So you see, my friends, just an ordinary, mere human, as a mediator, oh, would most definitely fail. But Jesus, you see, divine, a divine mediator, God. You see, God, my friends. And so therefore he cannot fail. And that which he was sent into the world for, to do, to accomplish, he has accomplished. And the Bible tells us that God himself has accomplished through his Son, Jesus Christ, accomplished that which could not be accomplished by the law, that is by keeping rules, regulation, that is by, you know, churchianity. You got plenty of that, you know, but not much church. You got plenty of Christians, but not many Christians, you know. Different thing altogether. No, my friends, the accomplishment of the Son of God. No, he was proved. As I just read to you a few moments ago, he was proved, demonstrated to be the Son of God. Jesus Christ our Lord, declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead. The fact that he was raised from the dead signifies, you see, the acceptance of his sacrifice before God, that he was successful in everything he did well. And he did successfully. So, my friends, you can, you know, put your trust in Jesus, knowing that he is God, knowing that he has accomplished everything well, that everything he has done and accomplished, my friends, on behalf of those who will repent, that is, turn from their sin, from their wicked ways, and put their trust in him, salvation, that which God promises, will be there. It's already been accomplished, my friends. No question, no doubt about it. All been done and dusted, accomplished. We have a divine mediator, able, I tell you, to bring you to God. One of the reasons for which he died, the Bible tells us, to bring us to God. And today he would bring you to God, should you but trust in him. Trust in his atoning death, his blood sacrifice that takes away the sin of the world and would take away yours. Should you trust in him and bring an end to the warfare between you and God, that is. It happens, my friends. It happens day after day in this world. Men and women, young and old alike, coming to find Jesus to be a suitable and the necessary mediator. Jesus, the mighty Son of God, who gave himself for sinners, who loved sinners and gave himself for them. But it happens, my friends, before that cross, as you lay down the weapons of your warfare, stop fighting against your Maker, against God, and raise the white flag in surrender, yielding yourself to the Son of God, that he might bring you to God, reconcile you to God, bring you into a covenant of friendship with God. Unbreakable, my friend. A perfect righteousness, everlasting love and righteousness, for the want of trusting, for the want of obeying the call of the gospel. To repent, that is, and believe the gospel. Believe in the divine mediator, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But then, of course, well, he had to be human too. He had to be human because, you see, the nature that sinned, and it was human nature that sinned, it was Adam, your first parent and mine. He wasn't just the first man. He was the head of the whole race. And so when he sinned, you see, he brought sin upon the rest of us. He entered into a contract with sin freely, and that contract is binding upon you and I, everyone. Every man, woman, and child born into this world. And the only one who can trash that contract, the only one who can shred it, my friends, is Jesus by his death on the cross. A contract Adam entered into with sin is binding upon you. You're a sinner by natural generation. You got it from your parents, and they got it from their parents, who got it from their parents, all the way back to Adam, so that God can say they're all sin. All sinners by nature, that is. By natural generation, conceived in sin, born in sin, live and die in sin. But for the grace of God, but for the mediation of Jesus Christ, he had to be human, you see, because the nature that sinned had to suffer the penalty. So he became a man, made of a woman, made under the law, to deliver those under the power, the condemnation of the law. So you see, my friends, a human mediator as well, most necessary. A man, the man Christ Jesus, the Son of Man, came into this world, anointed, appointed of God, to do this work, sent specifically, my friend, for this purpose, not only to live, yes, that, not only to love, yes, that. Oh, he loved, my friends, he only ever Even his enemies testified of him. He only ever went about doing good, healing the sick and giving sight to the blind and raising the dead to life. Only ever doing good, never harmed anyone. Perfect man, righteous altogether. The only righteous, the only good man that ever walked the face of this earth, the man Christ Jesus. And what did you do with him? You took him and you nailed him to a cross in vicious hatred of God, because he was in the righteousness of God. You see, that's our condition. That's why we need a mediator. That's why you need Jesus, because that's how we come into the world. Every one of us, conceived and born in sin, shaped in iniquity, in lawlessness, hating God and hating your neighbor. Well, Jesus was your neighbor, and you took him and you nailed him to a cross. Why? Because you hate God and you hate your neighbor. And that condition continues until, that is, you be born again. Until, that is, you're born again of God's Spirit. Until God changes your nature supernaturally, miraculously, by the preaching of the gospel, by means of the gospel, Christ Jesus sent into the world to save sinners. The man Christ Jesus. And of course, well, you know, as a man he succeeded where the first man failed. The first Adam. Jesus is termed as the last Adam. He succeeded where Adam failed. He failed to obey God. He disobeyed God and brought sin and death upon himself and upon the rest of us. But Jesus, oh, he succeeded. He kept the law of God perfectly. Every jot and tittle of it. No sin. Not a sinful thought. Not a sinful word. Not a sinful action. Only ever did perfect righteousness. Every step of his 33 years of life. The sinless Son of God. But you see, that's what qualified him to take away our sin. Because if he had one, just one single sin of his own, he could not have atoned for, he could not have died for anybody else's sin. But because he had no sin, because he was without sin, that qualified him to go to the cross, to do his best work, that which he was sent for, by his Father, to die on that cross and to shed his precious blood in order that you might be washed and made clean, sinners like you and I, by trusting in him. Way back in the Old Testament, the prophet Moses, he said that without the shedding of blood, there could be no forgiveness of sin. Hence all the bloody sacrifices that you find in the Old Testament of the Bible, all which pointed to the coming Jesus, the Lamb of God, whom the Bible, the New Testament, tells us he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God himself has provided the ultimate blood sacrifice, his own Son, to die, the man Christ Jesus, the Son of Man, to die on that cross and take away the sins of the world. Those, that is, who will put their trust in him. Those who, that is, will believe upon him. Command with the assurance is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Well, officers, how are you doing? Good day. Yeah. So like I say, friends, you know, Jesus kept the law perfectly. And so that's why his sacrifice on the cross was acceptable to God. If he had been a sinner, if he had done one sin, my friends, his death would have meant nothing. He would still be in the grave. He would still be like Muhammad. He would still be like John Brown. He's still been like every other man that was ever born into this world. Dead, buried, gone. He would never have been raised again from the dead. But he's declared to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead. God's approbation upon what he accomplished on the cross. Perfect, perfect sacrifice. Perfect life. That's what it took. A mediator between God and men, who was God and who was man, who was perfect in life and who died the perfect death, who took the penalty, the wrath of God upon himself in order that we might be reconciled to God. Now, my friends, put that alongside the Pope's religion, who would have you to believe that his mother Mary was a redemptress, that she can reconcile men and women to God. That's hogwash, blasphemy even. No, my friends, if you read the Bible, you'll find that Mary, the mother of Jesus, she said that she rejoiced in God her Savior, her own Son, my friends. Because you see, she needed a Savior just the same as you and I do. She needed a mediator just the same as you and I do. Because she was a sinner, like all other women. So don't get putting your trust in some wench like Mary. No, my friends, Jesus, the Bible makes it very clear. The only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Divine, but human, my friend. Human. And of course, as a high priest, you see it. The great high priest, the Bible calls him, to bring us to God by making an offering to God that's acceptable, the offering of himself, his own perfect life, offered up to God as a sacrifice. And the Bible says, oh, a sweet sacrifice to God, acceptable to God. And again, well, of course, why his resurrection? Why he's alive? And why I can declare to you today a risen Savior, not a dead prophet, that's no good to you. Not a dead pope, that's no good to you. Not a dead religion, that's no good to you. It's a living Savior that you need. It's one like yourself that you need, but God also. The man Christ Jesus, the divine mediator. It's him that you need. And that's why, my friends, he has the power to save, and to save to the uttermost all those who come to God through him. Oh, he has the power. What's the sin? You say, my sin's too powerful. It can't be overcome. I never get over the drugs. I never get rid of the alcohol. Never get rid of the depression. Never get rid of the hatred. Never get rid of the idolatry. Oh, my friends, no sin too great. No sin too powerful. Jesus, the God-man, the only mediator between God and men. Oh, I tell you, one word from him. One man came to Jesus one occasion. He said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. He was trusting Jesus. He believed Jesus could do the thing. He said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus said to him, I am, be clean. And he was made clean. You can be made clean today. Your sin could be taken away. If you had that same faith, that same trust in Jesus. Another man came to Jesus on occasion with his son. His son was full of evil, wickedness. And he came to Jesus asking him for help. He says, if you can do anything, help us, he said. And Jesus said and answered him, what do you mean? What do you mean if I can help? That's not the question. Can you believe? Can you believe? That's the question. Oh, the power's there. The power's with Jesus. He wields the power. But only Only to faith, my friends. Only to faith. If you can believe, nothing shall be impossible to you. If you can believe, if you will believe, if you're willing to trust in the God-man Jesus Christ, you can be cleansed today of your sin. You can be delivered from the power of your sin. You can be made clean. You can be reconciled to God, entered into a covenant of friendship with God forever, and to know the everlasting love of God. You're without love today? Lonely, depressed, because of the virus, shut in, locked down, no Christmas, no family, all alone? My friends, there's one who would be a friend to you, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus, the God-man, who would be your friend. And if you got him for your friend, never to be lonely again. No matter how many lockdowns, no matter how long the lockdown, never, never to be lonely without friendship and without love again. One who will love you everlastingly, not like the fickle sinners of this world, who love you because of what they can get out of you, who love you because you agree with them. Oh, they'll love you, you know, like your LGBT mafia. They'll love you if you agree with them, but disagree with them, you'll have all hell come against you. The abortion mob, you know. Oh, they'll love you too if you agree with them. If you go pro-choice, they'll love you, but you go against them, they'll see you in hell. If they could, that is. So you see, my friends, we're talking about a friend. We're talking about a lover. We're talking about somebody who will love you as you are and do you only good. Make you good even. Make you a new person, a new creature in himself, born again of the Spirit of God. Brought to repentance, brought to faith, and given the gift of the Holy Spirit, the God-man Jesus Christ dwelling in you, and empowering you to live a life pleasing to God, a life fit for purpose, I tell you, and fit one day to meet God, because one day you're going to do that. You know the Scottish clown, Mr. Connolly, he says in the paper today, he says, I feel that death is near. I feel my time is short. And so it is. He's an old man now. This is the man who blasphemed God and Jesus Christ up one side and down the other in order to become famous, a celebrity. But now, soon he's going to be out of it, and he's going to be face to face with the God and Jesus whom he seriously blasphemed, and he's going to be in big trouble lest he finds repentance before then. But what about you? Pandemics, viruses, tsunamis, earthquakes, car accidents, it doesn't matter. Something's going to take you out of this world. You might be young, you might be old, you might not be. But you're going to go, because it's appointed of man to die once. And after that, then comes the judgment. And you give account to God for everything. So now, you need a mediator. You need someone to bring you to God. And that's Jesus, the great high priest, who by the offering of himself up to God on the cross, shed his blood in order that sinners like you and I might be brought to God. And you see, as a man, Christ Jesus, as a man, you see the ability. Oh, he was tempted in all points, just the same as we are. So when you're tempted, you see, in your weakness, you've got one who would sympathize with you, empathize even. one who has been there before you in every situation that you can possibly think of and imagine in human life. He's been there before you. And my friend, able, I tell you, able to strengthen, able to succor, able to help, and able to bring you through every temptation. Bring you to an end, because that which he begins, you see, he tells us in the Bible, he brings to a conclusion. You and I, we take up many things, do we not? Oh, I'll do this, I'll do that, he'll do the other. But then you get fed up with it, or it becomes too difficult. So you give up. You give up, you know? But Jesus never gives up what he begins. He saves you today, he will save you to the end. I will never leave you nor forsake you, he said. Never, never, never. What he begins, he finishes. And so, my friends, I tell you, to the very uttermost, you can trust in Jesus. You can trust in this mediator, the only mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, God, man, divine and human. The wonder of the incarnation. Christ Jesus coming into the world. We shall call his name Jesus. Why? Because that name means Savior. Savior. We shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What a wonder! What a wonder, my friends! The birth of Jesus, the provision of God, a mediator, appointed for us, and anointed of God to perform everything that he has so wonderfully and well accomplished, so that all that's left for you and I to do is simply to trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy, even in the midst of a pandemic, even in the midst of a lockdown, even in the midst of all the craziness of the world today. You can be happy in Jesus, if you obey, that is. If you obey the call of the gospel, that is. And what is the call? Repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Simple, my friend. Child could understand. Adults, well, not so much. Adults have more of a problem. They've got years of cynicism, unbelief, hardness, you know, obduracy, stubbornness, smartness, think they know it all, too clever. But a child, you see, well, you know, a child is that, you know, that simple childlike faith. Just accepts, it just takes a person at their word. Well, that's how you have to become, says Jesus, in order to enter the kingdom of God. As a child, simply, plainly, trusting, taking Jesus at his word. That if you repent and believe the gospel, then you shall enter the kingdom of God. The door will be thrown wide open to you. So God, you see, at just the right time and just the right way, sent the right mediator, the man Christ Jesus, to accomplish for us what we could never accomplish for ourselves. Salvation from sin. And oh, to bring to us, my friend, an everlasting righteousness, the righteousness of God, without which in that day you will stand before God naked, devoid of any righteousness whatsoever. And my friends, lost, facing the personal punishment of eternal destruction for the want of repentance, for the want of faith, for the want of trusting in the mediator that God has supplied for us. But through faith in his name, believing, trusting, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Trust and obey. No other way to be happy but to trust Jesus and to obey him. My sheep, they hear my voice. They follow me, and I give to them eternal life, he said. So today, my friends, hear his call. Obey his call. Repent and believe the gospel. Newcastle, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's like a copy of God's word offered to you quite freely. God's written word, that is. My friends, able to impart wisdom to you. The wisdom of God, that is, that brings salvation to the soul. You'd like a copy of God's word. It's offered to you freely. No cost, no obligation to you. You're simply and only for the taking. You would like one. Feel free to come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy. Mercy, I say, upon your precious, never dying soul.